All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Page 148. More than comfort. When I was feeling depressed, I repeat to myself statements such as these: pain is the touchstone of all progress. Fear no evil. This too will pass. This experience can be turned to benefit. These fragments of prayer bring far more than mere comfort. They keep me on the track of right acceptance. They break up my compulsive themes. And sometimes they endow me with the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Misery, Metallica, is the greatest band ever. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've been watching, Metallica is on tour in Europe, played in London, just played in Ireland, and I swear to God, this must be like where World Cup soccer players tournaments take place, because huge, packed to the rim with loving fans, and the band still killing it. I love it. I laugh because back in the day, man, we loved our Metallica, and we would have to go to any length to hear it other than our own record player, right? So we would call up the college radio, the late night DJ at the UNM radio station, and beg him to play Metallica. Come on. He might play some Metallica. He definitely didn't want to play any of the other music that we liked, but man, have Metallica come a long way, and they deserve it, man. Hard working band, love it. Great song, My Friend Misery. And I just thought I would come upstairs. It is Friday. It is a bit of a strange day because I only had one client. The traffic is ridiculous, and I'm sort of free for the day. And I thought, and I took my son this morning to get a haircut. Absolutely love those guys over at El Patron. Great barber. It's so fun, especially since I'm a hairdresser, right? But to take my son to a salon to get his hair cut, and my buddy's like, why don't you cut it? And I go, well, because, he's growing up, and he's doing his own thing, and he's making his own way and building his own relationships, and I think that's more important than me cutting his hair. And so he really likes this guy, Kevin, over there, and he really does a great job. And besides, Kevin does a better job at cutting his hair than I do. I'm a colorist. I do haircuts, but I'm not doing the fade-ins and the blowouts and the razors and all that stuff. But anyway, I thought I would come up. You know, I was at the. It is a slow day today. You know, this time of year, my Fridays are not as busy because people just don't want to deal with the traffic, and I don't blame them. But I had a client, went in, did her hair, and then was chatting with a new guy that is working at the salon now. Great guy. Thank God for him, because it was getting a little iffy, a little too much estrogen in there. It's good to have another man working in the building. But his client came in, and she was, you know, she's a funny old lady, 84. I'm 84. And I was like, that's awesome. And she says, I got to tell you a joke. And I go, you tell me one, and then I'll tell you one. And she says, the optimist thinks the cup is half full. The pessimist thinks the cup is half empty. And the alcoholic says, is there any more? And I thought, that's pretty funny. And I go, that's funny. I go, I am an alcoholic. And she goes, me too. And I go, and she goes, I've been sober for 30 years. And I go, I've been sober for 18. And the funny part is we've been sober together in this town, and I haven't become friends with her. I hadn't known her. I didn't know her. I mean, I have to have. She goes to, I go to Dry Dock. She goes to Dry Dock, but she goes on Saturdays and Sundays, and or, you know, her, she got her couple days, and I go 2 days opposite of her, but, and we pass like ships in the night, but we're still two people doing recovery. And for 30 years, and I'm at 18, you know, it's a long time. There's longer, I know, but it's definitely past the grace period. It's definitely past the point where it's just a lot of fun and a lot of newness. You know, at 18 and 30 years, you know, this is just what we do. And, you know, we have a good time doing it, but it was fun to talk to her, you know, just sort of reminiscing through the years of recovery and some of the same people that we know. But I did like this reading. I thought I would, you know, I mean, and I probably read this before, but More Than Comfort, it's page 184 in As Bill Sees It. And it says, when I'm feeling depressed, I repeat to myself statements such as, pain is the touchstone of all progress, which is true, right? If you're in the right state of mind, right? Fear no evil. This too will pass. This experience can be turned to benefit. I think it's a natural progression for most human beings to go from self to more of a humble existence. I just think it's a natural progression. With age, time, experience, taking part, being a part of things, doing things, seeing things happen, seeing things fail, we slowly learn. And that's fantastic. Now, put alcohol in me and those experiences and, you know, things, right, that happen. They do happen, but I don't pay attention to them. I learn, and during those moments, I feel like I've just been gotten bad luck, right? Been treated poorly. There is no natural progression. And so, of course, putting down the alcohol, that is, for me, one of the things that had to happen. I can't continue to be a victim or a volunteer like I was when I was drinking, trying to be sober, and then, of course, eventually trying to find serenity. Right, and the second half of that says, right, it says, these fragments of prayer bring far more than mere comfort. They keep me on the track of right acceptance. They keep up my compulsive themes of guilt, depression, rebellion, and pride. They break up my compulsive themes of guilt, depression, rebellion, and pride. And sometimes they endow me with the courage to change one thing I can and the wisdom to know the difference. And, you know, there's not many things you can talk about when it comes to recovery in the 12 steps. I mean, there's thousands of things, but it all sort of comes back to one thing, and that is acceptance, thorough honesty. But acceptance is really the decision that says, okay, maybe I played at least some part. And, you know, there was obvious things like, you know, me ending up in jail. Clearly, I did something, right? There's the obvious things that I did, but there's a lot of things that I did that, for me at least, appear to be somebody else's fault and not mine. And I, you know, it's funny what I will carry around, what I will dig up, what I will scratch open, and how often I do it until I find the ability to take responsibility for my part in whatever that is. You know, I've shared many stories, right? At some point, I played some part, and it's just really freeing when we can start to let go of this self-centered fear. And it's funny when we find out that all we have to do really is to accept what part we played. And then once that happens, it's done. The gig is up. And, you know, when I came into this, I've shared, you know, many times, you know, work days were the worst days. Days off were the best days. Anything that was hard sucked. Anything that was easy was better. And anything I could make easy was even better. And for some reason, the idea of never working a job seemed amazing. I remember when I was selling the drugs and I was like, look at me, I don't even have a job. I'm just doing what I want. Selling drugs, drinking in bars. I mean, I was living the life of, you know, a playboy, but I was not a playboy, right? I was a cheap street hustler. But I could make enough where I could drink in bars. And of course, my parents were helping me to a point where I didn't have to worry about a lot of things. And, but of course, coming into the program, you know, one of the toughest things that I had to learn was that pain is the touchstone of all healing, right? That's what it says right there. Pain is the touchstone of progress, not healing. But I'm sure healing soon to follow, right? Fear no evil, this too shall pass. This experience can be turned into a benefit. And I think that's the biggest one right there. Because, you know, when I look at a hard day's worth of work in my mind, this preset idea that this day is going to suck, right? It's going to be hard and it's going to suck. I can use the example when I was at the golf course, we used to lay a lot of sod. Well, we didn't lay a lot of sod, but we built golf course holes. And, you know, at some point the green complex would be finished. We'd have all the sand in and the last step would be, you know, set the heads and then sod, basically the surrounds and, you know, the collar and stuff, not the green itself, but everything else. So truckloads of two full 18 wheelers of sod would come rolling in, and we'd lay all, I guess it was probably 40 pallets of sod. And maybe it was even more. I don't even remember. But in my mind, that day was going to suck, and it did suck. It was a hard day, period. And it was usually in the summer, and it was just brutal. And it wasn't, and then, of course, I was the irrigation guy, so, when most of the job ended for most of them, I would have to continue because I'd have to pull out hoses and set up sprinklers and all sorts of shit and babysit grass. But those days in my mind, up into it, I'd be like, oh, my God, I can't even imagine this is going to suck. And stepping back, you know, maybe a week before that day, it did. The big, broad, wide picture looked like a big, lame day coming. And as I got closer and as we figured out a plan, you know, whether it's, you know, this is people are going to be here, this is what we're going to do, get closer, the truck pulls up, right? And the guy starts unloading the pallets, and we're just all looking at each other like, we've been talking about this, we know what we're doing. Right in that minute, right, I got 2 feet, two arms, muscle strength, fed, and I'm ready. And the process begins, one piece of sod at a time. And then by the time it's all done, absolutely was terrible, but it was doable, and we did it. And by the time we're all done, we're like, that was fucking, you know, that sucked, but man, good job, boys. Good job. Right. Amazing. And then, of course, by the end of the day, you're at home, you're sitting down, probably back in those days, and probably drinking some booze. But just with this peace that I had had a hard day's worth of work, I showed up, I completed it, and we got what we needed to get done, and people were proud of us, and that's something, you know, to drink for in those days. You know, and so, but then, of course, I would ignore that. Like, man, that day sucked, right? That day was bad. But, you know, over time and through, you know, recovery and just the process, right, the transition. Because, you know, they say when you pick up the drink, that transition stops. When you put down the drink, the transition hopefully starts up again. And my transition hopefully started up again. I think it did. And I can see, you know, what things should have been. And, of course, talking to people and learning from that as well. But it took me years to realize that those are the best days. Those are my best days. The days that I have the hardest work are usually my best days. And the days that I used to think were the greatest days, my days off, are not. I was off yesterday. It was not a great day. I can't even think. What? No, I was not off yesterday. I was off on Wednesday. It was not a great day. But in my mind, all the week prior, you know, leading up to the day off, it's like, it's going to be a great day. But I didn't do anything. I mean, I did stuff, but I didn't do, I wasn't very productive. I wasn't of service to anyone. And so I just had a meh day. But that's the opposite of what I've been trying to, you know, I don't know if I was taught that. I mean, I guess through commercials and TV and society, I guess there's a tone that the weekends are the best days. You know, I guess beer commercials, it's a weekend. You had a hard, tough week, it's the weekend. And you start drinking those beers. But I guess I just had this idea that the weekends were the best days and the work days were the worst days. And it's not the case. And it's like, you know, coming true with some of like my lies, you know, my tales back in those days, you know, coming clean. There's nothing worse than carrying around a lie or bad behavior. You know, my year early days was always full of secrets, right? Whether I was ditching school, failing a class, something that served self was a secret. And it just, you know, I'm surprised I even made it, man. It was just constantly fear and worry. When am I going to get caught? When are they going to find out? And, you know, to not experience that today, it's like takes some getting used to. But the idea of, you know, having days off. And so, you know, I've spent these days off and I've been telling myself looking for the days off and I'm not finding any satisfaction out of the days off. And don't get me wrong. We have some days off. There's days off. I do work and do stuff. But it's the point of this real, you know, I talked about the personality change. It is a real change. And then I'm thinking, what does personality mean? Persona, what kind of person am I? And if you ask me, or if you were to look at me, you would say, this is a guy that lives for the weekends and hates working during the week. But as we've moved, as I follow, you know, move forward, I've noticed that I can be a lot better. And I'm missing out on all the really cool stuff. And I'm putting all of my eggs in baskets that aren't really that great, like the weekends. I don't know. It's just a, you know, this alcoholism and how I became one. And that was a question the lady asked me. Or no, the guy I work with asked me, how long did you drink? And I said, actually, I've been sober longer than I drank. But, you know, if I think about, you know, my drinking, I started when I was in 10th grade, but it was weekends. You know, I definitely could just drink enough. My real love for alcohol and vodka really started in 1997 or 1994 when I moved to Delaware. And I really replaced my addiction to speed. You know, my speed addiction, I was like, because I had just come out of jail. I was like, you know, I don't want to go to jail again. I don't want to get caught up in that rigmarole, but I can drink some vodka. And I just replaced speed with vodka. And man, I drank it every day. And it was bad. So my alcoholism really, at the part that became unmanageable, and I'm sure there's parts of my drinking that were unmanageable early on, but daily unmanageability really was probably started in 94, so probably 3 years. Because I moved here in February, March, and I got sober in 97 in March. So, yeah, 1 month of shy of 3 years. Just heavy, heavy drinking and heavy problems and issues. And yeah. All right, anyway, I just thought I was, let's see if we can read the daily reflections. I just wanted to try to stay in a roll here and keep podcasting. Pleasure. All right. And then I think I'm gonna go for a run, and then I think I might jump in the pool. All right. July 31st, a prayer for all seasons. God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. I think that's the greatest prayer ever. That's it. Serenity. That's the goal. You know, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amazing. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 125. The power of this prayer is overwhelming in that its simple beauty parallels the AA fellowship. There are times when I get stuck while reciting it, but if I examine the section which is troubling me, I find the answer to my problem. The first time this happened, I was scared, but now I use it as a valuable tool. By accepting life as it is, I gain serenity. By taking action, I gain courage. And thank God for the ability to distinguish between these situations I can work on and those I must turn over. All that I have now is a gift from God. My life, my usefulness, my contentment, and this program. The serenity enables me to continue walking forward. Alcoholics Anonymous is the easier, softer way. So true. That is so true. And, you know, that is for me what, you know, this is all about. You know, people love to talk about sobriety, but there's serenity. And just like it is in the Drop the Rock book with that boat going with Mary, you know, they're headed to Serenity Island. It's a few of them. But the one thing is, you know, they point out to Mary, you got to drop the rock, you got to address the 6 and 7. And that is the key. And, but yeah, that's about all I got. I'm going to cut this short. I'm going to go for a run. It is Friday. I hope everyone has a great day. I hope everyone's doing well. You know, if you've been sober for a while, you're probably, you know, feeling the same way I am. Pretty freaking awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.